Rulemaking Oversight and Repeal Subcommittee to order. Sanjay, will you please call the roll?
Chair Tobiah, excused. Representative Anton, excused. Representative Gates. Representative Hudson.
Here.
Representative Carner.
Here.
Representative Magar.
Here.
Chair Nunez.
Here.
Representative Ray.
Here.
Representative Richardson.
Here.
Representative Santiago.
Here.
Representative Stubbe. Representative Perez.
Here.
Democratic Ranking Member Representative Watson.
Present.
Quorum is present, Madam Secretary.
Great. Let the record show we have a quorum. A few housekeeping items. Members, if you could please make sure your phones are on silent. And those of you in the audience that would like to address any of the bills we have before us today, make sure to fill out an appearance card. We will move into the agenda. We're going to go slightly out of order. We will be taking up House Bill 7115 by Representative Rayburn. Representative Rayburn, welcome. And you're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Committee. House Bill 7115 is relating to numeric nutrient criteria. This bill provides the Department of Environmental Protection with the necessary legislative authority and direction to implement the March 15, 2013 agreement that was reached with the Environmental Protection Agency to protect Florida's waterways from excess nitrogen and phosphorus pollution. The agreement is contingent upon passage of the language in this bill and provides means for EPA to withdraw their federal rule under the Clean Water Act and for Florida to have numeric nutrient criteria for the vast majority of waters in this state. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Representative Rayburn? Seeing no questions. Members, we have with us Drew Bartlett from the Department of Environmental Assessment and Restoration. We would like for him to give a very brief presentation before we move on to the amendatory process, if you all will indulge him. You're recognized. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, pleasure for me to be here. Essentially, I'm going to do a very quick presentation to talk about this issue so you know exactly what's happening. This is basically our process for protecting our state waterways in the state. The first thing you have at the very top is setting water quality standards. That's what numeric nutrient criteria are. That's levels of pollutants in a water body that, if attained, that water body will be healthy. So we set those standards by rule. Then essentially we move through this process. We monitor them according to rules. We adopt these impairments. We set restoration goals known as TMDLs. I think that's later in the agenda. Total maximum daily loads. Those are adopted by rule. Those are site-specific water body restoration goals. Then we move into working with community leaders to implement restoration in our basin management action plans. Those are adopted by secretary order. And then we monitor, and we hopefully get those bodies returned to health, those water bodies returned to health. So, numeric nutrient criteria, this is the timetable that we've been under. In 1998, EPA said, across the nation, let's set numeric nutrient criteria, levels of what we call nitrogen and phosphorus, that if attained in our water bodies will keep them healthy. Excess levels of nitrogen and phosphorus cause algal blooms and impairments to our waterways. So, in 98, they set out that expectation. Over the next few years, they set out federal guidance. 2003, Florida set up a technical advisory committee so we could start working on this. And then collected data and did analyses from 2004 to 2009. We were deriving approaches to setting nutrient criteria when EPA settled a federal lawsuit and entered into a consent decree. And at that point, we entered the dual rulemaking, where the federal EPA was proposing and trying to set standards, and we were doing the same thing. And so last year, in 2012, skipping down, in 2011, we set criteria for lakes, rivers, streams, springs, and a number of estuaries in the state. And then last November, EPA approved all those nutrient criteria. At that same time, they signaled to us, we do have another date in our consent decree for the marine waters, the rest of the estuaries, but we'd like to work with the state on a path forward such that we recognize state-level rulemaking and we can approach the court and get out of our consent decree. So that's what we've agreed upon. That's what's embodied by this legislation. We're also going through rulemaking as part of that path forward as well. Their deadline is September of 2013. That's why we're here this session, and that's why we're doing rules this session at this time as well, so we can get these things before EPA by August 1st and they can act upon them and then make a motion to the court in September. So, in case you're curious, this is on the left, this is a criteria we have established to date at the department. The map on the right, there's some hatched marks where EPA has proposed additional criteria in the state. And so with this bill and with this path forward, we will end up with criteria across our state waters. This is all rivers, streams, estuaries, coastal waters, and springs. You will notice that there is a white area down here. Neither EPA or DEP has the size necessary to do all wetlands at this time. You see, we do have the Everglades phosphorus criteria depicted. The other thing we don't have all the science necessary for is those South Florida canals. We have a lot of canals in our state, and neither EPA, they didn't propose canal criteria, and we weren't able to derive canal criteria in South Florida either. So we have started this year a study of those canals. We're doing some intense data collection of biology and chemistry in those canals, and over the next 3 years, hopefully we'll have enough science necessary to move forward with those as well. So here is just a nationwide status of numeric nutrient criteria adoption. A hatched mark in the state means that they've adopted a nitrogen standard for that lake or a phosphorus standard for that stream. It's site-specific only. It's not statewide coverage. When you have a blue shaded in state, that means you have statewide coverage. The darker the shade of blue, the more criteria you have. For example, Minnesota has one phosphorus standard for all their lakes. If they had phosphorus and nitrogen for their lakes, that would count as two, and you'd be bluer. State of Florida, with this bill, is extremely blue. We'll have nitrogen and phosphorus for lakes, rivers, streams, and estuary and coastal waters, both nitrogen and phosphorus. We are far ahead of every other state in doing this exercise. And I often go to national meetings, not too often, but once a year I go to a national meeting, and my counterparts at those meetings will come up to me and say, how did you do it? We've been working on this since 98 too, and it haven't started yet. I mean, there's 22 states in there that haven't even gotten anything across the finish line. And I tell them, well, it takes a heck of a lot of science, and fortunately this legislative body's been good to the department in giving us the means to collect all that data and science to actually derive something. And then it takes the support of all your community leaders to actually help it get across the finish line, because these are complicated criteria and they can often be quite costly as well. But it's important to the state of Florida to have protected and healthy waterways. That is very clear. Another group, the environmental advocacy organizations, are also critical to this because they make it a priority for the state. And they help us get the public educated and everyone on board with trying to move forward with difficult tasks such as this. So that's all I have to share. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Mr. Bartley. Are there any questions for Mr. Bartley? Representative Richardson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Can you tell me how many water bodies in the state of Florida are unhealthy, approximately?
You're recognized.
I can get that to you. When we do our assessments of what, we can't monitor all of our water bodies, but we do an estimate of how many are not healthy, and for nutrient impairments, it's about 20%. As an estimate. Now, there are impaired waterways in the state that we have restoration strategies on the books and in place, like the St. Johns River, Indian River Lagoon, Lake Okeechobee, things like that. There are some significant water bodies that are impaired.
Arup, you're recognized.
Do you have a list of those water bodies in your office you could provide to us?
Recognized.
I certainly do. It's on our website. I can get it to staff to get to you. It's called our impaired waters list, and it's a verified list of impaired water bodies.
You can provide that to the committee, and they'll disseminate it to the committee members. We'd appreciate that.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Gates, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize for my tardiness. So if we were to pass this rulemaking authority for the department, we wouldn't know today then what nutrient criteria would apply to a specific waterway or water system in any of our districts, would we?
You're recognized.
Today, we know what applies to all these water bodies. This has been already adopted and approved by EPA. What we're working on with this legislation is the remaining estuaries. You see the hatch marks around there where it's empty on this side. So what we're working on is getting these areas filled in. So today, it directs the department to get that done by date certain, but in the interim, the legislation says that it establishes a standard expectation for those waterways that says their current unimpaired condition. So by August 1st of this year, we will send a report to you guys, to the legislature and the governor, explaining what our current calculations of those numbers are. We are currently collecting more data on those estuaries to make sure that we have the best science available.
Follow-up, Representative Gates?
Yeah, thank you, Madam Chair. So if we were not to adopt this bill, what would be the fate of what was shaded blue in the subsequent map?
You're recognized?
We would continue to move forward with trying to adopt these standards. It wouldn't necessarily get into before EPA in time for them to make a decision on the state, because the goal here between the Department of Environmental Protection and the Environmental Protection Agency is to have state-level rules on the state books that is clearly implementable through state rules and regulations. So it's really encompassed in an agreement we had with EPA on a path forward to get numeric nutrient criteria adopted in the state.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Representative Santiago, you had a question? Any further questions? Thank you, Mr. Bartlett.
Thank you.
1 second. Representative Ray.
Hey, thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, would you agree that this is beginning to provide some certainty into the process where there's been a lot of uncertainty in the past?
You recognize, Mr. Bartlett?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Absolutely. That has been a real challenge for the state and for a lot of the people affected by the criteria in the state. With the federal rulemaking, there was a lot of uncertainty on how it would be implemented. What this legislation does in combination with our rulemaking is it provides complete clarity on what needs to happen going forward.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
We have one amendment by Representative Ray. Representative Ray, you recognize to explain your amendment?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment basically is just a technical amendment. It provides some certainty as to how, once the adoption of the rules are put in place, that there's a termination event. That upon EPA withdrawing from rulemaking on the numeric nutrient criteria, that rules 62-302.531 parent 9 parent will stand repealed, and that's basically what this is. Instead of putting it back into the rulemaking path when we get through, once EPA is in agreement with everything, then it repeals that section.
Are there questions on the amendment? Seeing no questions on the amendment, is there anyone in the audience wishing to speak on the amendment? Seeing no public comment, is there a debate on the amendment? Seeing no debate, all in favor of the amendment say aye. Aye. All opposed, nay. The amendment passes. Now we're back on the bill as amended. Representative Rayburn, would you like to explain the bill as amended?
Madam Chair, the essential parts of the bill would be the same with the amendment as I explained before.
Great. Thank you. We will now take a public comment. Certainly, yes. Question, Representative Gates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Rayburn, explain to me how voting for this bill is not fundamentally agreeing with the premise that we ought to have these numeric nutrient requirements.
You recognize, Representative Rayburn?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good question, Representative. At the end of the day, if we don't adopt this, EPA is going to set their own standards that are generated from a computer in Washington, D.C. that aren't based in science, and they will force us to implement their standards. So this bill says that DEP will use science to finish implementing the rest of the standards so that we have standards that are based in science that are proper for the state of Florida and our waterways.
Follow up, you recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair. But don't our standards then have to get approved by the EPA? And if they do, aren't we still subjecting ourselves to their will and oversight?
You recognize?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This is an agreement that was already reached between DEP and EPA on March 15th of this year, and they have agreed to, when we implement the final stage to address the final bodies of water, we're only addressing those that were in the previous slide, that they've agreed that our standards will be sufficient, and they will withdraw from the rulemaking, from the withdraw their federal rule under the Clean Water Act.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, how did, so am I understanding you correctly that the federal government has agreed that whatever DEP comes up with, they will be okay with, even though neither DEP nor the legislature nor EPA know what DEP is going to come up with?
You recognized?
Madam Chair, you are correct. They've been involved in the process and have been watching DEP as they are using science, just as we've done for the other water bodies that are already in agreement. This is just the final stage of the process for the last portions of water bodies, the same thing that we've done before in previous sessions, same thing that we did last legislative session, which passed unanimously.
Follow-up?
Nope.
No. Any additional questions? Representative Rayburn. Yes. Ranking Member Watson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The remaining bodies of waterways that are left, what percentage do they make up of the whole?
You recognized?
Madam Chair, I would need to defer to DEP for that answer.
Yes, you recognized?
Thank you. We did the calculations. You can see them on that. And what we compared was what we were able to get forward, you know, minus wetlands, minus those South Florida canals, compared to what EPA was able to derive as well. We're up to 98% coverage of what the science is available for. There is certainly a more that needs to be done on the South Florida canals and wetlands.
Barbara, you recognized?
Thank you. Do you have any percentages to give us an idea of how much is left for, as an overall, that we're trying to make this arrangement on?
You recognized?
I don't have them on me at the time. I can get them to you. That would be the South Florida canals, and I can get that to you.
Any additional questions? Seeing none, we'll now move to public comment. First, we have Mr. David Kahn from the Sierra Club.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. David Cullen, Sierra Club, Florida. As many of you are probably aware, Sierra Club was one of the co-litigants that sued EPA to get them to impose numeric nutrient criteria on the state of Florida. And we appreciate Mr. Bartlett's recognition of our contribution, as it were, to Florida's efforts and to their current plan. Unfortunately, we feel that the current plan that the EPA has agreed to is flawed, and for that reason we have to oppose this bill. Because the DEP plan relies on the narrative standard, it is at best restorative and not protective. The damage has to happen before action is taken, and it may take considerable time before action is taken because there are a number of procedural hoops that are built into the DEP plan that have to be gone through, and there's no time certain for action being taken. If traffic law were written like the DEP plan, nobody would ever get a speeding ticket. Exempted from protective standards are intermittent streams and rivers. Rivers or streams north of Lake Okeechobee that have been altered through channelization or installation of water management control structures, all flowing waters in South Florida, current Class 3 swimmable, fishable canals, tidal waters, Class 3 flowing waters in the Everglades Protection Area and the Everglades Agricultural Area, and marine lakes. By EPA's calculations, this will allow 85% of Florida's fresh Class 1, Class 3 flowing waters to be excluded from having numeric nutrient pollution water quality standards entirely. All of these waters will continue to be regulated solely by the current narrative criteria that do nothing to control nutrient pollution until they become impaired or have prolonged very high algae levels that is unsafe for swimming and fishing. We note the estuary approach in Section 5 of the bill that declares the current conditions to be A, representative of unimpaired waters, B, the current water quality standard for estuaries and non-estuarine coastal waters, and that it calls for the establishment of a numeric interpretation of the narrative criterion for nutrients by rule of final order, but only sets a date for a progress report, August 1st of 2013. Further, the rule would be subject to legislative ratification. Now, our position is that the flood plan violates the consent decree, and it is subject to court review to ensure that it complies with the consent order and the Clean Water Act. We expect that Judge Henkel will not be satisfied. Delay may be a good legal strategy, but it's not good for getting sewage, manure, and fertilizer out of our waters.
Question? Yes, Representative Ray, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And this may not be to you as a speaker, but if we implement this, and this is what actually is implemented, if I'm not mistaken, until such time as there's a judicial review of this, this will become the law, and it will become implement, and will be being implemented, even if it doesn't pass the entire test. Is that correct,
Mr. Collins?
Madam Chair, I am about as far from an expert on federal law as you're liable to find in this room. I will ask that question and get an answer to you, because I don't know.
I'll ask the author of the bill. Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Hudson, you had a question?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. It was presented by the presenter of the bill that this has been going on for about 5, maybe 6 years now. Were you guys adamantly opposed to it all 5 and 6 years before, or is this the first year you're coming and speaking out against it?
You recognize?
We have opposed this for a lot longer than 5 years. The initial suit against EPA to compel them to issue a determination goes back to 1990, is that right, Joe? 98. So we've been involved in this issue for a long time. And we addressed the numeric nutrient criteria in committee consistently last year when it was being considered. And we've been in this fight for a while.
And since the ongoing suit and going forward now, if I understood you correctly, they're taking the right steps or the necessary steps to follow and meet your probably call it your demands, but they're just not getting to where you want them to be. In other words, they're working with you, but not fully there yet. Is that your position?
Recognized.
When you say they're working with us, do you mean DEP?
Yes, in other words, there was a lawsuit, and you said now they're going forward doing some of this stuff that you had asked for from the initial lawsuit, so it sounds like the necessary steps are being taken to satisfy you guys. It just sounds like you're up here opposed just because they're not going 100% all the way, but they are making some type of necessary steps since that lawsuit. Is that correct in your position?
You're recognized.
Thank you. It's not quite that close. We recognize that DEP has come forward with a plan, but we do not believe that it will accomplish what we set out to accomplish, which was to establish protective standards for Florida's water bodies. The idea behind having numeric nutrient criteria is to have the equivalent of a speed limit sign, 25 miles an hour. Going 26 miles an hour, you get a ticket. The DEP plan, which was put together with the support of utilities, industry, just about everybody except the environmental movement, is designed in such a way as to require damage to occur and be verifiable biological. The narrative criteria says essentially that there has to be an imbalance in flora and fauna in the water. So the damage has to be there. It has to be visible. That is completely different in concept from a protective standard, which prevents the damage from happening in the first place. And that is the crux of our difference with the DEP approach. We would also note that the state has been more or less dragged kicking and screaming to this point, because this issue has been going on for a long time. We would not have gone to court in 1998 had we not been working for probably a decade prior to that to achieve water quality standards in the state of Florida. So it's, we recognize that there has been an effort made, but we think that the end result and the strategy is flawed.
Representative Richardson, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just further to the question of Representative Hudson, so if I understand that this does not go as far as you would like to see it go, but would it be fair to say that this does not move us backwards? Because it may not be good enough, but it's still good. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
You familiar with Zeno's paradox? If you walk from here to the end of the room, at one point you'll be halfway, and you'll have halfway to go from there. And then when you get to that point, you'll have halfway to go from there. Get to that point, you'll always have halfway to go, and you never get there. That's what we see the DEP plan accomplishing. There are highways and byways and labyrinthine sets of lists and procedures that prevent a definite, predictable, and enforceable set of numeric standards that everyone can understand, everyone can set their business plan to, and that will be protective of the resource, which will be a benefit to everyone in the state, business, citizen, tourist.
Is that your answer?
Follow up?
Yes, you're recognized.
Thank you. Okay, I got that. Now, if I vote yes for this bill today, do you believe that I'm setting environmental standards backwards in the state of Florida? Is that what you believe?
You're recognized. And we do want to get there. We don't want to be halfway for the rest of the committee, so if you could make it.
Very good, Madam Chair. Point taken. I would say that you would not be advancing.
Was that my question?
Your question admits of three answers. Yes, no, or it doesn't apply. And my opinion is that a vote yes for this bill is contrary to the best interests of establishing good water quality standards in the state.
One more follow-up, please.
Yes, you're recognized.
I understand that, sir, with all due respect. But I understand that you want more than what this bill does. But what I want to know is, if I vote yes, am I harming the environment in the state of Florida?
You recognize?
Sure. Yes, I would say so, but as a sin of omission.
Representative Ray.
Thank you, Madam Chair. If I may ask one or two quick questions.
Yes, you're recognized.
The first is it, as I understand the criteria that would be looked at from the EPA, are random assumptions that are placed into a computer. Is that correct?
I'm sorry.
Could you repeat the question, please?
Yes. That which would be proposed by the EPA is based on assumptions that are placed into a computer without fact. Is that correct?
You're recognized.
I believe what you're talking about would be the streams. There are a number of things that have nothing to do that where the state and EPA agreed to begin with. The lakes and springs everybody was comfortable with that, and they both came up with essentially the same numbers. The issue that I believe you're talking about are the flowing streams, where there are a number of variables that make a stressor response that establishing a stressor response is difficult. And that's why DEP chooses to add the biological narrative standard.
Let me ask this a different way of you then.
Okay.
Basically, is what you're doing is you're wanting to make an assumption that there's something wrong first and correct something that you just want to assume is wrong without the facts. That is, in fact, what I think we're talking about here, is that you want something, you want to draw whatever conclusion first and then say, this is the problem, even though there's nothing to back up that this is the problem.
You recognized?
As I understand the EPA's approach in developing the flowing streams, they use the same kind of a technique that they do to establish speed limits, in which they survey numerous situations and choose a percentile at which they said that this, from looking at the entire set of sampled water bodies or roads, if you're talking about speed limits, they say this is the percentile above which we will presume that this is, that the water body is unimpaired. And that is a fairly standard statistical method for developing criteria when it is a situation with numerous variables and nonlinear relationships.
Representative Ring, you have a follow-up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Basically, what you want to say is that somebody's either speeding or they're not speeding, and since that you don't know if they're speeding, if they're not speeding, you want to make sure that you're saying that they're speeding first, and therefore we want to change this around using your speeding scenario. It's a very fast and furious way of doing it, it seems, but you know, since we're talking about speeding, you know, let's talk about whether you're speeding or not.
Speaking of speeding, you're recognized.
The question of whether they're speeding or not under the EPA plan would be determined by the level of nutrients in the water.
Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. An additional question. You mentioned about the EPA standards and the standards for nutrition and the methodology of how it works. Has your organization provided any kind of data or criteria on how you would like this to go forward?
You recognize?
Yes, Sierra Club has submitted comment on the EPA proposal. I don't know if they've submitted anything to DEP or not.
Not specifically comments, sir, but actual methodologies of how you want this to go forward is what I'm asking. Any scientific type of data that you guys would put forward saying you guys are here, we want you to be here?
You recognize?
Sure. I don't know exactly what has been sent. I know there has been comment which may well have included scientific data. I know that some of the co-litigants have done that. Whether Sierra Club contributed to that specific aspect of the commentary, I am unaware of it. I can try and find out and get that information to you.
One last thing, and probably more of a thing for this committee, but if you could find out what you've sent and where they've met you, if they've met you halfway, if they've met you at all, that'd be important going forward, in my opinion.
Great. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Continuing with public comment, Mr. Ryan Matthews, Florida League of Cities.
Madam Chair, the League leads.
Thank you. Mr. Jim Spratt, Florida Nursery, Growers, and Landscape Association.
Madam Chair, we would waive in support of this right
bill. Great. Thank you. Waiving in support. Ms. Suzanne Goss with the JEA.
Madam Chair, JEA waives in support of this good bill.
Thank you. David Childs with the Florida Chamber of Commerce.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll be very brief. Just one point that I think needs to be made to be very clear is that a lot of the arguments that you heard from Sierra Club in opposition to this reconciliation after 4 years of legal dispute between DEP and EPA, that those arguments he made last year at about this time in a week-long evidentiary hearing, and those arguments were rejected by a neutral fact finder, and he appealed that decision and lost on the appeal as well. So I really think it's high time for Florida's business community, for Florida's local governments, for us to move forward with regulatory certainty and implement these standards that DEP has developed that are based on the opinions of Florida's water quality scientists, because I think Florida knows what's best for Florida. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Mr. Doug Mann with AIF.
We move in support, Madam Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone else in the audience wishing to speak? Seeing none, we will now move to debate. Is there a debate? Yes, Representative Gates.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I don't like these deals where we grant rulemaking authority and then we really don't know what the nutrient requirement will be in any of our districts. And I think that it's this odd game we play with the federal government, and it plays out in a number of different spectrums where you say, well, you know, we'll agree to do this stuff in fear of getting a worse hammer later. I mean, that's, I guess we've sort of had that debate in the healthcare space and gone a different direction than we've gone in the environmental space. So, I mean, it's very, it creates a lot of discomfort. I'm going to vote for the bill today because I just figure Representative Rayburn, with his background, probably knows these issues better than I do, but no, they're just with great concern.
Thank you. Representative Santiago in debate? No? Anyone else in debate?
I'll take it.
Yes, Representative Ray, recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for your work on this. It's not an easy question for us as members of the legislature, because we're all having to get down to details that are foreign to many of the members. But I believe in terms of where we are with this, the state of Florida spent a number of dollars for a number of years trying to determine where the problems are, trying to put together some good policy for this. This represents a lot of work. It represents a lot of uncertainty. If we don't pass something of this nature, it leaves it in the hands not of us as state officials, but leaves it in the hands of federal officials. And therefore, if you think we have a hard time getting control over things here, just wait until we're being told by somebody who doesn't care anything about what we think, doesn't care anything about our budgets, or care anything about what will happen to the state of Florida. And in that, I close and will be glad to support this.
Thank you. Representative Rayburn, you're recognized to close.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Committee. I'll touch on a couple of points briefly. First, Representative Richardson, to a couple of the questions that you asked, you know, what does a no vote mean for this bill? And essentially, what a no vote to this bill means is that we don't really care about science and what's best for the state of Florida. So in the state of Florida, DEP uses site-specific science to determine the numeric nutrient criteria for each individual, potentially for each individual water body. EPA doesn't do that. They use a broad spectrum science to determine what should be appropriate for a broad spectrum of water bodies. And in Florida, we know that our water is different than other places in the country. And it appears as though EPA has recognized that DEP's science is sound and that we're using the right science to develop these criteria for our state that make sense to protect our water quality here in the state. This bill, I can't take credit for this bill today, because this is a culmination of years of progress towards this issue. And Mr. Bartlett from DEP explained that when he goes to other states and talks to his counterparts, they're in disbelief that he's been able to get the EPA to agree that our science here in our state is what's best for our state. And this bill has the potential to save our state hundreds of millions of dollars. We asked if we could use the billions, and they said probably not. But hundreds of millions is accurate, and that we're using sound science to develop water quality nutrient criteria here for our state that makes sense for our state. And with that, I close.
Representative Rayburn, having closed, Sanjay Green, please call the roll.
Representative Anton, excuse, Representative Gates?
Yes.
Representative Hudson?
Yes.
Representative Kerner?
Yes.
Representative Magar?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nunez?
Yes.
Representative Ray?
Yes.
Representative Richardson?
Yes.
Representative San Diego?
Yes.
Representative Stubbe?
Yes.
Representative Torres?
Yes.
Representative Watson?
Yes.
With your vote, show House Bill 7115 approved.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Committee.
Next, we will be taking up House Bill 7113 by Representative Caldwell. Representative Caldwell, thank you for your patience, and you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair and Committee. The easiest way for me to describe this to you, I believe, is NNC and the larger sphere of things you just discussed is looking prospectively. That was giving numeric criteria to a definition of the before scenario. TMDL has come into play in the after scenario when it's indisputable that a water body has become impaired, that you need to address the issues in those water bodies. This bill is a request to take that rulemaking authority out of the review that we created 2 years ago in terms of the economic impact. I do believe and agree with the DEP that the scope of TMDLs is beyond that which we envisioned in that legislation 2 years ago, and would ask for your favorable support of this small change in law.
Representative Caldwell, having explained the bill, are there any questions? Yes, Representative Richardson?
Can you tell me how many of these economic impacts have been done that are fall under this that you want to now excuse?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Do you mean how many broadly all rulemaking authority that's been utilized since we passed that law, no matter regardless of DEP, or are you talking about just the TMDLs and where this has been an issue?
This specific issue. So as I understand it, based on your explanation, we're going to now excuse them from this review. So I'm just wondering how many instances. Are we talking about hundreds, or we're talking about 10 or 12?
Representative Richardson, and it's my indication that the next bill that we'll be taking up is all of those pending ratification. But if Representative Caldwell wants to further explain.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Representative Richardson. I don't have the number directly off the top of my head, but it would be variable from year to year. Again, this addresses water bodies that indisputably are impaired. And frankly, to reference back to that discussion y'all just had and the concerns that some of the opponents put forth, the scenarios that we face in Florida today, I would submit, don't put us at a great danger of currently healthy waterways being in danger of rapid impairment. I mean, the issues are always the same. The places are always the same. They're the ones we deal with, Lake Okeechobee in the Everglades system, and springs in urban and suburban growing areas. And why those occur are very obvious to all of us. So from one year to the next, I can't give you an idea, but I don't think that it's a rapidly occurring issue as much as it's a question of when it does happen. We want them, the DEP, to be able to go through this process without meeting our timetable. And the worst scenario, of course, is they get through all of the public hearing process, all of the rulemaking process, and it's the middle of May, and now they have to wait 11 months and come back. And that puts us in a very difficult posture with the EPA and their regular requirements that we get to work on these things.
I'll be recognized.
So if I understand it, then you don't believe that the agency being so overly burdened with the number of these is just more of a timeliness issue, and that if we're away and they need to move with great dispatch, they'll be able to do that. Is that correct?
You're recognized?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll move to public comment. We have Mr. Ryan Matthews, Florida League of Cities. David Collin, Sierra Club, Florida.
We waive in support.
Thank you. Pierce Schuster? Sorry.
We waive in support. Thank
wonderful.
You.
Thank you. And Doug Mann with AIF?
We waive in support.
Wonderful. Is there anyone else in the audience wishing to speak? Seeing none, we will now move into debate. Is there a debate? Seeing none, Representative Caldwell, you're welcome to wave close. Having waved close, Sanjay, will you please call the roll?
Representative Anton, excuse. Representative Gates?
Yes.
Representative Hudson?
Yes.
Representative Kerner?
Yes.
Representative Magar?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nunez?
Yes.
Representative Ray?
Yes.
Representative Richardson?
Yes.
Representative Santiago?
Yes.
Representative Stubbe?
Yes.
Representative Torres?
Yes.
Representative Watson?
Yes.
By your vote, show House Bill 7113 approved. Congratulations.
Cheers. Thank you, committee.
Thank you. Next, members, we'll move to PCB RORS 13-02 by Representative Santiago. Representative Santiago, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chairman. This PCB ratifies rules setting the total maximum daily loads for specific water bodies and water body segments designated as impaired. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, is there anyone in the audience wishing to speak? Seeing none, is there a debate? No debate. Representative Santiago, it's probably the easiest bill you've had. Wave close. Santiago, please call the roll.
Representatives Anton, Representative Gates?
Yes.
Representative Hudson?
Yes.
Representative Kerner?
Yes.
Representative Magar?
Yes.
Vice Chair Nunez?
Yes.
Representative Willie?
Yes.
Representative Richardson?
Yes.
Representative Santiago?
Yes.
Representative Stubbe?
Yes.
Representative Torres?
Yes.
Representative Watson?
Yes.
With your vote, show PCB 13-02 approved. Congratulations. Members, is there any further business? Representative Hudson, I believe you had a comment you'd like to make?
I just, Madam Chair, thought it was noteworthy that Representative Tobiah offered some amendments last week in our committee that penalized people that missed committee meetings, and he's not here today. So I just thought that was noteworthy. And Representative Gates, if you could tell your roommate that would be great.
Madam Chair?
Yes, you're recognized.
I would just hope that in the future we'd have better analogies that maybe legislators could understand rather than speeding tickets, since we don't get speeding tickets.
All right, I think we need to adjourn quickly. With that, Representative Magar, please be adjourned. Same business.